Grace and mercy be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Text for consideration today recorded for us in the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, just as the word of the Lord had commanded. Now Nineveh was a great city to God. It required a three-day walk. Jonah walked through the city for a day, and he called out, 40 more days, and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. And the men of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast, and not eating, not drinking. And they put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his leading officials, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat food or drink water. Instead, let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call fervently to God. Let them turn from their evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And who knows, God may turn and relent, and he may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish. When God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil way, God relented from the disaster which he said he would bring on them, and he did not carry it out. God's word is truth. Amen. It was the strangest of things. The city of Nineveh, full of people who didn't care about the Lord, who didn't care about the law of God, who didn't care about what was right, who didn't care about kindness and compassion, who were filled with pride and greed in a place where the sinful nature ruled. They, of all people, repented. A whole city with an 8-mile wide circumference, surrounded with 100-foot tall walls from what we have in history. Wide enough for three chariots to ride next to each other on top of those walls. It was a capital city whose greater area covered a 60-mile wide circumference with possibly 500,000 people in it. The size of Nineveh that Jonah went to and the population surrounding it is very similar in numbers to Madison. The people of Nineveh turned away from their trademark wickedness and turned to the Lord. Their ways were changed because their hearts were changed when they heard the word of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit worked the miracle of faith within their stubborn hearts. It brought about a new life from the ashes of their own depravity. Who could have guessed? It was a most unexpected thing. Repentance. It's what God desires from all. Yet those without faith, for those without faith, it is an impossibility. We hear this in Romans 8. For the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So where did that leave Nineveh? Without the message that Jonah brought, they were doomed to destruction and didn't know any better. When God tells Jonah earlier to go to Nineveh and tell them to repent or they will be destroyed, the horrible prophet flees. He wanted Nineveh destroyed. Can you imagine someone will say Tim, not wanting another, will say Sam, the gospel, because Tim doesn't want Sam in heaven one day. That's where Jonah's heart was at this moment. He would rather see Nineveh destroyed and all of them in hell, rather than to see God's desire of repentance come true for those people. It's a heart check. It's a motive check for you and me. We believe the word of God is true. We know the Holy Spirit can take Ninevites from hell-bound to heaven-bound. We can see it right here. There's nothing more powerful in all the world than the very word of God. It created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. God worked through the word, his word, to make us heaven-bound. Now what shall we do with this powerful life-changing word? Think of it. Think on it. Nineveh, repenting of their sin is something that God could bring about, and he did. When Nineveh repents, The very act shows the power of God's word, the power of the Holy Spirit working through that word to bring people into the kingdom of God. As the gospel we heard earlier says, it's like a mustard seed. It seems so small, so delicate, and dare I might add, insignificant to some. But it grows from that small seed into the largest plant in the garden. God wants people to be in his kingdom, and it happens through the gospel. Read his word with another. Share the account of Jonah, maybe with the story of that man at Cape Cod who was swallowed by a whale this week and lived to tell about it. And then go say, hey, let's read about the first time that happened. Let's read Jonah and see what we can get out of it. Walk them through it. The word of God can break the hardest of hearts, the people of Nineveh, sure. And to see such a thing was a powerful message to the people of Israel. You see, the people of Israel knew God's word, but they didn't repent. They continued with their idol worship, much like how we are tempted to follow our idols, our likes, our time wasters, our sins, the depravity of our sinful nature, our sexual immorality, our jealousy, our enmity, our evil. As one with the word of God, there are two paths before you. Sin or salvation through Jesus. And we might turn our eyes to see the wicked Ninevites of our day and in our life without the gospel. And they live it up and they don't have a care in the world, and especially not care about the Lord Almighty. They choose sin and could choose no other. Looks tempting to that sinful nature within us, doesn't it? But to see them repent, it means something. Hardened hearts crumble at the law of God. 40 more days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. The message of one prophet going out to 500,000 people. And the many repent. The words of the king are this: let everyone call fervently to God. Let them turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that they will not perish. The king of Nineveh has some strong words for his people. They go without food and water. They put on clothes that indicate sadness. They turn away from evil. And their actions proclaim their inner repentance. And can you see it in your mind's eye? And now I look at my heart, my stubbornness, the temptations that are before me as the ones that are before you. And there are two paths before us, sin or salvation through Jesus. And the path of sin is natural to mankind. But listen to the words of life, that we do not perish. Have I repented of my sin? Have you repented of your sin? If we see the Ninevites, once so strong in evil pride and laying destruction to anyone who comes in their path, if we see them repent because of their fear of God, should we not do the same? We shall. Let the king of Nineveh be our prophet today. And as he speaks, he reminds us of who our God is. We have a God who demands justice. Yet the king appeals to God's mercy. It's the message we have before us every Sunday, in fact, daily. Let us go to our Lord and God. Let us call fervently to him. Ask him to forgive our every sin, no matter how haughty or naughty it may be. For we know God demands justice of our every sin. On the cross of Christ, we see that demand met in full. Jesus paid for the sins of all in Nineveh. And Jesus has paid the price of your sins, mine too. I've always looked at this passage and focused on Jonah, but the king of Nineveh has much to say to sinners about God, about justice, about mercy, about our actions, proclaiming an inner repentance that has taken place. Let our outward actions proclaim the gospel lives within. Find a way to say it and proclaim it in thought, word, and deed. We are saved through Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.